Blog Talk Radio.
When I sailed on lonely deep, in the midnight watch I keep, I stand amazed when the stars on the billows gleam. And though I know a storm is rising above a dark horizon, I know, my Lord, I know you're here with me. So let there be light, Lord, let it shine out of your heart, here in mine. When it rains from heaven above, let it bring sweet heavenly love. Let there be light, let there be light. There's a call on the restless tide, it's like a long and endless night, and it breaks the bow like a raging symphony. And though I may be far from shore, I am anchored at heaven's door, 'cause I know, Lord, you're here with me. So let there be light, oh Lord, let it shine out of your heart, here in mine. Lead me out of the eye of the storm and of the promise of the crimson dawn. Let there be light, sweet Jesus, let there be light. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me, I'm surrounded in an ocean of love. Your grace is enough, grace is enough. Find me, I'm surrounded in an ocean of love. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Find me, my Lord, I'm surrounded in an ocean of your love. Let there be light, and Lord, let it shine out of your heart. Oh, Jesus, here in mine, lay me out of the eye of the storm. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, there is wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Yeah, there is power, there is power. There is power, there is a wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. Well, that was Steph McLeod and his song, Let There Be Light / There Is Power in the Blood. What a great song. Well, Sister Marie is already in studio and she is set to go. But before I bring her on, let me just make a few announcements, necessary announcements. Let me remind everyone that we need to pray. We need to pray for Sister Kay. Sister Kay has been asking for prayer. Sister Kay's up there in age, and she's got a couple of medical challenges. She's having some breathing issues, and she has an oxygen tank and all that goes along with that gadget. And she's just asking us to pray for her physical condition, and we shall continue to do so. Also, we're praying for Sister Jennifer. And if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. Saints, if you're interested in going to Bible school, but you don't have the money, well, we have a blessing for you. There's a school that doesn't charge registration, doesn't charge tuition fee. It's called the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies, and it's an online school. You go to school once a week for 2 hours, and I can tell you that the school is really blessing a lot of people. It's blessing a lot of people because they don't have to get in their car, drive to a location. They don't have to get dressed. You ladies don't have to doll up your hair and put on any makeup to go to Bible school. You can do it right in your pajamas with your rollers on, with your face cream on. You can just sit there and just your Bible school lesson once a week, 2 hours. And I heard, and I can vouch for it, that the teacher is pretty good. So the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies is at your fingertips. All you have to do is just email us at iibms2020@gmail.com. And once you send that email, you will be officially registered. And the registrar, Brother Miguel Rivera, will tell you what to do next so that you can begin to train for local church ministry. So, here we go, Sister Marie. Let me bring her on. I think that covers all of the announcements. Sister Marie, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, and you?
Looking forward to this show. Looking forward to the End Time News Report. Want to find out
what's going on
in the world? Got to tune into Sister Marie's report to find out what's going on with all these crazy people.
And thank you for accommodating me this time. I really appreciate that.
No problem, no problem. We accommodate on all levels. Whatever needs to be done, we just do it. We just do what needs to be done. So when you're married, you learn.
Yes.
One of your main lessons is learn how to accommodate. That's one of your main lessons. So I'm an accommodation expert. At this point.
101. Or 401,
exactly.
Huh?
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly. So we're back to news, and there's a lot of crazy things going on in the world, right? Lots of crazy things.
Absolutely.
So talk to us today.
Well,
what's the show about? What we're going to get into?
Well, the first story, we're just going to do stories and clips and, some crazy stuff that I saw going on, and trust me, we could go on all day with this, but I picked out a few just to show, the times we're in right now. Now, we have hundreds of transgender prisoners requesting a transfer to a woman's prison under a new California law. The law, SB 132, provides that a prisoner who self-identifies, who is a transgender or LGBTQXYZ, whatever,
right,
addressed,
right, right.
Must be addressed in a manner consistent with the individual's gender identity and be housed at a facility designed or designated for men or women based on the individual's preference. So the law applies regardless of the anatomy of a person.
Wow.
So out of 261 requests to move to a facility, all but six of these people asked to be housed at a woman's facility. So what does that tell you? The six weren't gay, or six of them were actually gay.
Right, right, right.
Think about it. Think about this. You have 261 men,
right,
that want to be in a woman's facility because they're transgender or gay or whatever.
Right.
Okay. But if wouldn't you think that someone gay, if they were a man, would want to be in a stay in a men's facility?
Absolutely.
Because
I
can tell you right.
Right.
It
right.
doesn't make
I mean,
sense. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's just crazy. If you're gay, and if you're male and you're gay, I would think that you would want to be with men,
mm-hmm.
not transfer
yeah.
over to the women, right?
Right?
I would think.
Right.
So I don't get it.
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't see a bunch of lesbians wanting to go to a men's facility.
No, they wouldn't.
You
no.
see what I'm saying?
No. They don't want that.
Why?
No, they don't want that. No, no, no.
Well,
no.
You know, it's law now.
Right.
It's a law.
Well,
so,
listen.
You know.
What happens if I declare myself trans royal? Can I demand that I want to go live at Buckingham Palace? Can I demand that? I'm trans royal.
No. No.
Well, why not?
I can tell you right now.
Why not?
Well, because it doesn't apply to you. Nothing
well,
applies
about,
to you.
How about if I say I'm trans Trump? Can I go live at Mar-a-Lago? Can I go live in the
No.
Can I go live there? Okay. Will that work?
No.
But wait a minute. How about my? Well, you're violating my civil rights. I'm trans Trump.
Yeah. It only applies to certain things. You know that.
But well, it's a mental disorder, right? I mean, if those people are crazy, why can't I be crazy? You're discriminating
well,
against
that,
my craziness.
That's up for debate right now.
Okay. All right. All right.
No, I'm joking.
Okay. Let's see. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, what is it going to be next?
Yeah.
What is it going to be next?
Yeah. Well, it's all a part of the, you know, trans agenda. So they have to accommodate everything. In the direction, you know, in their direction, favorable in the trans, you know, world in,
sure,
in this
sure.
agenda. So, you know, if you're straight, well, right now if you're straight white, but if you're straight and you're, let's say, maybe a patriot, you love your country,
mm-hmm.
or Republican or conservative, if you love, you know, being conservative, you know, you're not liberal, you're not on the list to get any favors. You don't get any favors. No.
I see.
So
I guess there's mass discrimination against certain people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So much
you
for
score,
so much
you
for,
start going the other way.
So much for equal rights.
The minus. You start going minus. See?
Yeah.
That's me. I'm on the minus
mm-hmm.
one.
Right.
So, I don't know. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay, we have the Pentagon researchers focusing on an under-the-skin microchip as an end to the pandemic. Now, FEMA's involved in that. So.
Okay, repeat that again. Repeat that again about the microchip.
Pentagon researchers, they're focusing on an under-the-skin microchip as an end to the pandemic. Now, why it's an end, you know, I don't know. I think it's because it can track you and, you know, that would end everything.
Right.
Once they get the tracking device. But I think what they're saying is it'll detect if you have COVID. You know, this is how it's presented.
Okay. I can tell you right now.
We have
now
a bridge
the,
to sell, yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you right now that the Pentagon has mental COVID. They have mental COVID. That's what they have.
Yeah.
If they think they're going to stick a tracker on me.
Right. Because we know it's, you know, they say one thing and it always ends up being another, doesn't it? You know.
Right.
It's totally different. And, you know, going with that, let me grab a story I had here that I had from last week that we didn't get out. By the way, we had two last week, so we're going to do them both. I sent you the audio again on the other one today. So it says FBI actually sent out a warning advising against buying or making or misrepresenting a vaccine card, which may be breaking the law. So a couple of days ago, the FBI in Minnesota tweeted out the following warning. We've all seen friends posting their hashtag COVID-19 vaccination cards on social media. If you make or buy or fake one to misrepresent your vaccination status, you endanger other people and also may be breaking the law. Now, they have a whole public service announcement page on this.
Hmm. Wow.
Hmm. Yeah. So that might tell you their ignorance, the FBI's ignorance on personal freedom.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, because first of all, there's no law in the books as we speak that, you know, condemns anybody for not having taken the vaccine or not, you know, being able to get a card via the vaccine. There's nothing on the books, so nobody's breaking any law.
Right.
In order for you to break a law, the law needs to pass through Congress, and there is no law passed through Congress.
That's right. And what about the states like Montana? They are barring the passport vaccination or vaccine passport. Montana said, no, we're not having it so far, but they're against it.
Right.
They refuse to have that in their state.
Sure.
So what about a state like that? You know, you see, the problem with all this is they're implying that it's already a law, that they're just making up laws as they go along.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't real laws, but if they call it a law or say you're breaking the law and you don't know your rights, then you may fall for that.
Right.
But taken to a higher court, which most people cannot afford to do, you would never be charged at the end of the day right now.
Right. Right.
You see. But, you know, so they don't understand, you know. A guy quoted on there, he said, we're funding a federal agency to enforce a population control grid engineered by Bill Gates' global para-government, which has its hooks deep in Minneapolis, you know. He said, and the tweet actually showed that there were committed grants to this by the Gates Foundation.
No doubt.
Yeah, just because they have their hands in everything, don't they?
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, and then someone else put on there. They tweeted, maybe they could show us how the vaccination card isn't a violation of our civil rights. And he's right.
Sure.
You know. It's our human rights too.
Remember the Nazis, they would give the Jews identification cards, and wherever you went, show me your identification. Oh, you're a Jew. Okay, come in. Get into this train. We're shipping you
yeah.
off. That's it. It's
yeah.
an it's what it is. It's
yep.
the same old Nazi World War II trick.
Yeah, and they wore bands, too, to identify
yeah.
people, didn't they?
Sure.
You know, colored bands.
Yeah.
And then
Absolutely.
They ended up on their arm tattooing their number.
Yeah.
But it was on their left arm. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time,
yeah.
you'll see it on the
right.
left. But it was, you know, and I'll
yeah.
bet, you know, they thought some things back then. You know,
sure.
I mean,
sure.
I thought, well, this is it, but it wasn't. So
hey,
at this
tattoo,
point, even
a tattoo is a tattoo.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When those cows, yeah. when those cows are put down to the ground and they're wrestled down,
mm-hmm.
and that guy takes that branding iron out of the fire, and
mm-hmm.
he puts that on that animal's hide.
Mm-hmm.
He goes moo. You know,
we got the sound effects today.
He doesn't want that tattoo, let me tell you.
No. And
yeah.
it also involves worship. We need to say that. There's two things involved,
right.
you know. When you start getting
Absolutely.
Into the mark thing, there's two things involved. There
right.
is the mark, but there's also worship. And you'll see that. That's like you can read it, you know, 8 times in the book of Revelation, I think the mark is in there. And it involves worship. Too.
Absolutely.
So that's something that you have to remember that. So,
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, even the left, the ACLU, doesn't have a problem with these cards. That's amazing. But they have a problem with the digital cards, they said. They say it discriminates because not everyone has a smartphone, nor can buy one. It's about money with them. Hey.
Right.
We're not against people tracking you. What we're against is some people can't afford a smartphone. Now, does that make sense to you?
No. It makes no sense. Yeah. It makes no sense.
Listen, these implants, I can go back several years, and I know a doctor, and years ago they were talking about that, and doctors were going to conferences on these implants years
right.
ago. And they didn't have the technology back then.
Right.
But they were talking about it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Now we're going to do something interesting for a change. Do you remember, I want to know if you remember Gene Scott. Do you remember him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gene
hey,
Scott
show,
was a
showing
Bible,
our age.
He was a Bible scholar extraordinaire. He was a linguist.
Yeah.
He that guy knew so many different languages.
Yeah.
He was and
he was
he was
also,
if I'm not mistaken, he was a Stanford University professor, but he was listen, that guy was complete trash.
Yeah, do. He was
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they just sold his mansion, you know.
Oh, Melissa, his wife?
We're
his wife,
talk,
Melissa?
Yeah, she sold it. First of all, it's listed right now for $48
right.
million, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, why I want to play this is we're going to play something and we're going to chop it up just a little bit. But I
okay.
want to show the listeners that the same tactics for tithing and things that were used years ago, the same greed, are still in effect today. And we can go back. Now, his house that he bought with with tithe money, not yours, but ours,
right.
but tithe money, $48 million. Now, that's in California. If you take the buildings with it, it's 32,500 square feet. It includes an entertainment gallery, you know, among other things. But he was a televangelist in the 80s, and he died in 2005. Now, the house has a commercial-grade movie theater, tiki bar. The main residence has 6 bedrooms, an elevator leading to the wine cellar, billiards room, a library, and 6 fireplaces. Now, he considered himself, you know, a teacher and was known for scribbling scripture on a chalkboard. in their original language, so
right.
that we give them. Now, we do give him that. I mean, he was brilliant, but he was, you know, it was about money.
He was completely perverted.
Yes.
Completely.
When he died, his wife inherited the house. And back then, like 2005, she sold it for like $7 million. Okay, and she figured, because I can remember seeing his wife a few years ago on television trying to archive his sermons and stuff and selling them. She was
right.
desperate when he was gone, right? Well,
right.
not what we call desperate, what they call desperate,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
So now it's listed for $48 million. Think about it. That's a lot of money. So what we're going to do is only play. We're just going to show his technique for getting money in. So we have to break this up because when he would when he would teach or say something, if the money didn't come in, he'd just sit in silence and stare at people.
He'd yeah.
give them a dirty look. Yeah,
he
I mean,
pout,
you know, it's
he would pout and say,
yeah.
"I'm not going to say another word until the money starts rolling in." Yeah.
No, I think we got that clip. Okay, so go from 0 to 1 minute, and then we're going to shift on it because he goes in silence
okay.
after that.
All right.
And it's still pouring in. Here's 360. Pledges for a year. We're opening the Gideon board. Here's 2,400, 540, 120, 1,200, 240, 180, 2,400, $600, $3,600, $360, $250, $250, $3,000. On it goes. $2,000,
got Liberace in the background playing the piano.
That's why I said we're going to skip it. You know, here's the thing. That's how he is when the money's coming in.
Right.
You know, and listen
sure.
to that, 2000, now this was the 1980s with him.
Right.
You know,
sure.
and,
sure.
you know, 2,600. So now we're going, so at one point here, he's doing this again, and
mm-hmm.
he can't get the money that he wants in, so he sits and he refuses to speak for a few minutes, like
right.
you just said.
Right.
So go to 608, and we're going to hear what he's like when he wants the money, and it's not coming in the way he wants
okay.
it. 608, and you can play it to the end. It's
all right.
945.
Do you understand that God's work hangs on 600 miserable dollars? And you sit there glued to your chair. How long must I teach you the principles of spiritual warfare? 30,000 means nothing now. God is held to an open chain. While 22,000 400 pours in. $600 kills us. It has nothing to do with money at this point. One person hanging on to a miserable $600. You think I'd blow over 30,000? But people who name the cause of Christ and sing, "I surrender all," will let God for an hour hang over peanuts.
We can call that the browbeat offering. Right?
That's heavy shepherding.
Yeah.
101.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
The browbeat offering.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
He only had 22,000 come in. He wanted that $640-some.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Oh, he
is.
Oh, man.
He's mad.
He's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's,
all right.
Well, I just wanted to show that, you know, it's done, isn't it, the audio?
No, that's not done. I just had to stop it because
he was about
to blow a gasket. He's about to forget it. Wow.
Well, hang on to your seat, folks, because he's got more.
He reminds me of that guy that you played the audio that he went and someone had the cell phone and he grabbed it and he smashed it on the ground. Remember that preacher who walked over and you know, and then you over there, youth pastor in the audio room. You're a youth pastor because I made you one. I can unmake you. Wow.
Quit horsing around in the sound booth.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this but a festival of faith? What is faith but hanging on the impossible? The network ought to be shut down. As Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. If God can't find four people, what is Christianity? Game, gimmicks, words, massage, or life and death? I said it last night. You'd have to tie me down with ropes if we were so close to victory that something I had in my hand would give it. You carnal Christians. When it gets close to victory, we'll duck out. God brings it so close that those that couldn't give 1,000 could be the ones that bring it over. But you sit there glued to your chair. Husbands and wives, if I were married to either one of you, I'd get up and kick both of you. Got somebody sleeping, go jump in the middle of their gut. This is war! We ought never to bomb down. Come on, Joe, I won't hit you. We ought never to bomb down. But 400 to go. Why didn't you do it earlier? I don't care what Gene Scott looks like. God's honor's at stake. From a people that grab a hymn book and cherubically say, I'll go where you want me to go as long as it doesn't cost me a few piddling dollars. 400, 100, 200, 100. Well over after I yell at you. Why didn't you do it because you love God? You say, I'll take it back. God will smite you if you do. You know you should have given it.
Wow, what a nut.
He compares it to Sodom and Gomorrah. Not giving.
Yeah. Not giving. Comparing to Sodom. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
See, that's...
Oh, he's terrible.
And he had them.
Terrible.
Listen, he, you can't buy those properties if that money isn't rolling in, and it was rolling in. And listen, he was on at 1 or 2 in the morning. That's when you had to catch him. He wasn't on normal hours. He was not on normal.
No.
He was on at 1 or 2 in the morning.
Right.
You know when that airtime barely cost anything. You know how the networks are trying to fill time. They'll put on whatever at 2, 3 in the morning because nobody's watching.
Yeah.
Only the insomniacs are watching. And
well,
that
maybe,
guy built a,
maybe he got him. Sleeping, maybe caught them, you know, after they were deprived of sleep. Maybe that's how we got them. Go ahead.
Listen. This guy was a cult leader, extraordinaire.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I just wanted to show that there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, this stuff has been going on. This was from the 80s, and I figured because of the languages, you would know him, you know, because that's what he was known for, being an expert in the languages. And,
well,
and
I,
you would remember him.
Yeah, we knew him from the Kingdom of the Cults. You know, we knew him from, if you were into apologetics, he, you know, he was, back then there was no internet. There wasn't even a thought of internet.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But that's how, you know, he was one of the cult leaders we were following back then. And warning people
terrible.
To stay away from this guy.
Yes.
You know, when we talk, 1980s was just a primitive time. You know, there's no social platform. There's nothing. How could you know, you can only warn people in your local church. That's it.
Yes, exactly.
That's as far as your influence went, your local church.
Yes. And they're still selling his materials, so don't buy them. The thing is that, you know, this has been going on forever. So what we're seeing today is nothing new. This has been going on since television, you know, began,
right.
basically.
Right.
If you go back and, you know, a lot of people may not have heard of him, you know, or knew about him. But I think a lot of people, a lot of these cults mimic him nowadays. You know, I mean, if you look at Morris, what's his first name again? Robert Morris?
Robert Morris.
When it comes to tithing, that's exactly what he's like. You know, he you know, belittles the congregation and everything like that. I had a clip of him, and it was terrible what he does to the congregation in order to get them to give. But the point was, this guy's got a multi-million dollar mansion with bars and pools, and, you know, this was a mansion that he had, and he died, and, you know, what happens to it? All the tithe money and all that browbeating of the people, what happens? You
it
know,
goes to the wife. Look, it's just like in all of these churches now where you know that the person that's going to be the next pastor is either the pastor's son or the pastor's daughter. Right? You know that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That's the way it works now.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, he had no children with his wife Melissa, who was one of his, you know, she was a she was one of the women that were invited to his property routinely, and they rode horseback naked.
Yeah,
you know, he was a pervert. You know, But when you have that kind of money and you can throw those kinds of parties, you know, you're going to have women, you know, showing up, you know, doing whatever you ask them. And his wife is very attractive, and not only is she attractive, but she's also very gifted in the languages also.
Yes, and she is a pastor now. You know that.
Yeah, well, listen,
she's
they
still
have
out
to,
there.
Yeah, sure.
Well, they have to do something to make money.
Well, look, they like the power. They like the seeing their pastors because they want to sit on top of the pyramid. When you get used to sitting on top of the pyramid, that's what you want.
Yeah.
You want to stay there. You want the money to roll in. That's it. That's you know.
Pretty
but
sad.
But she's another heretic. You know, another heretic.
Yeah.
Another apostate.
She's just using his pattern for her own, you know, use to gain wealth too. That's, you know, she's riding off his shirt tails. Get your money. So that's, you know, that's all that's about. Okay. Now, let me see here. Let's go to audio two. And these are all short audios that we have today, but we have a few of them.
Okay.
We have a city council meeting in Alaska that began with a prayer to Satan. And the place is Kenai, I think it's pronounced, Peninsula, Burrow. Now, the prayer was delivered by an Iris Fontana, and she's a member of the Satanic Temple.
Oh.
Now, it for some reason, this should bother us that city council meetings are opened with prayers to Satan. I mean, I would think that that would be something that we should think about in our communities. But this is going on. This is not the first time this happened. But this one's
right.
Recorded. So it's only a minute and 13 seconds. So let's listen to what she has to say.
Okay.
It's in the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Second down or first down.
We'll now receive an invocation offered by Iris Fontana. You may either remain standing or be seated. No one is required to participate.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. Let us stand now, unbowed and unfettered by arcane doctrines, born of fearful minds in darkened times. Let us embrace the Luciferian impulse to eat of the tree of knowledge and dispel our blissful and comforting delusions of old. Let us demand that individuals be judged for their actions, not their fealty to social norms and meaningless categories. Let us use reason in our solutions, holding fast to that which is demonstrably true. Let us stand firm against any and all arbitrary authority that threatens the personal sovereignty of one or all of us. That which will not bend must break, and that which can be destroyed by the truth should never be spared its demise. It is done. Hail Satan. Thank you.
She might as well have said, Hail Hitler. I mean, what's
yes.
The, you know. I'm watching the people there as when she says we're going to do the invocation, and there are people standing on the front row, second row. As soon as they heard
yes.
Luciferian, people just began to sit down.
Sit down, yep.
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
that amazing? Yeah. It's amazing. This is in our city council meetings, and it's not the first one, I can tell you. It's going on all over. This is the Satanic Temple infiltrating,
right.
You know, local communities. You know, it's a part of that. So, and they even give big to different, you know, things within the community, the Luciferians
right.
do,
right.
to infiltrate. So I thought that was interesting. And she said, let us embrace the Luciferian impulse to eat of the tree of knowledge and dispel our blissful and comforting delusions. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you hear the tree of knowledge, let us eat of the tree of knowledge. That's not
right.
a mistake. You know.
Sure. Sure.
You know.
Sure.
And the one-eyed Horus is
yep.
another.
Yep.
They have the, you know.
Well, look.
So,
it's craziness. Since this country is built on religious freedom,
mm-hmm.
you can basically introduce anything you want as a religion, and that's why they give nonprofit status to people who want to start a chapter of the Church of Satan. They, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a religion. You know, listen, they're not
yeah.
stopping Benny Hinn. They're not stopping Mike Murdoch,
right.
Paula White
right.
from starting a nonprofit. They don't, you know, because,
right.
again, freedom of religion. But we know that that's why the freedom of religion just goes too far, because now you're worshiping the devil.
Yep.
Openly worshiping the devil. Not masquerading, not, you know, not a
right.
mask. Worship of the devil, but an open worship of the devil. And those people just sat down. They said, oh, Lucifer, wait,
yeah.
that's not me. Sit down.
It's not my call.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, what's funny with this, though, is that years ago, just not that many years ago, people would have objected to this.
Right.
But you notice no one objects, and it may be, we may have freedom of religion. But why does, you know, everything have to, you know, everything with Luciferian people, they infiltrate and they ruin everything. They destroy it. you know, they contaminate it. And that's what they're doing with everything. And it really bothers me that someone didn't say, wait a minute, how far are we going to go with this? You know, at the end of the day. Or why didn't they walk out until it was done? I would have walked out. I'd say, okay, pray to whoever you want. I'll be back when the meeting starts, you know?
Right.
Something
right,
like
right.
that. But people are conditioned now to just sit through this craziness. I don't know. I don't know.
If there was, you know, if there were people, if they were like sergeants of arms and anyone to protest, that they would take you out. So why don't you just take yourself out? You know?
Yeah.
Because they're going to take, if you protest, if you verbally, they're going to take you out. So just walk out and wait for her to finish, you know, her 30-second prayer and then walk back in.
Right.
But, boy.
That's probably the best way to handle it, but it's ridiculous,
right, yeah.
isn't it?
Sure,
you know.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. But openly worshiping Satan. And listen, the prayer made no sense because I'm sure those people are saying, oh, I like to eat of the tree of knowledge. Where's that tree? You know, the prayer makes no sense. But, you know.
Where's that tree?
Where's that tree? Yeah.
I need knowledge. Where's that tree?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
They're crazy. It's
crazy.
Yeah.
I need to do news in a crazy world. I mean, we're in a crazy world right now, okay? It's hard to get past these stories. Okay. We have HSBC, and that's one of the biggest banks in England. Now, they put more than 1,200 UK staff on permanent work-at-home status, not temporary, permanent. So they're looking to offer flexible work locations to meet the customer's needs, they say. But what they're really doing is they're cutting office space. So by doing this, the banks, when they're doing this with the banks, that this eliminates the call centers for questions. If you have a question, forget it. You're not going to get through. So they are offering the staff, get this, £300 a year for working at home. That's the bonus. That's a year, bro. £300. That's like maybe not even $500 in the current market. Maybe a little more. It depends. You know, it changes every day.
Right, right.
A year. And that's supposed to cover the gas and electric bills. Now, I mention this because the banks are getting scary at the moment. You know, I had a visit at my bank, and it was nerve-wracking. So
right.
I'm just saying, the banks are iffy right now. And I'm not being funny when I say that. They are so concerned about you taking anything out of their bank.
Right.
They will, you know, tie your hands behind your back.
Sure.
If you plan on leaving, don't plan on leaving with much money out of there. They may give you a check, but not money.
Right.
Because they don't really have it. The banks don't have a lot of money in the banks, you know, stored there or in the safe. So, yeah, but, you know, the UK was having a hard time anyway with their banking. No one can get through to the banks. And if you remember, I have an account in the UK. And they asked me if I wanted to donate it because I haven't touched it in a few years.
Right.
You know, but I don't have to. It's in a like a savings thing.
Right,
I don't have
to
touch it.
Sure.
But they're telling me, do you want to donate it to a charity of our choice? Well, why?
And the choice would be them. And they would be the charity. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of that. It's just kind of, the banks are weird. I mean, just doing some weird things. They're getting away with stuff. So, and, you know, I think that a lot of these places, I'm going to be honest, they're saying, you know what? They tried this and got away with it. You know, it's illegal, but they're getting away with it, so why can't we? I don't know.
Right,
but
It's like the pastors, right? The pastors have figured it out. Okay, if we shut down our churches, there's no expensive light bill, right?
Right.
There's no light bill in the winter. There's no light bill in the summer when you got to blow out the air conditioning. We don't have to have office staff to clean the offices, the church bathrooms. We don't have to have people cutting the grass. So they're moving away from the traditional box church now to the internet church, because they figure I can make more money. I'll probably make a little bit less, but I'll save a whole lot more because I don't have all of this overhead. The banks have figured out the same thing. Keep these people at home because now, think about it. If you keep your staff at home, who's going to get sued? What company's going to get sued for there being an in-office romance, right? The bank president,
you know.
So they eliminate, right, all of the sexual harassment lawsuits. Why? Because, hey, if you went to somebody's house and got a co-worker's house and got sexually harassed, that's on you. Nobody told you to go to his house.
Right.
So that's not going to – so look at all the costs that they eliminate, right? And then,
well,
listen.
That's a good point.
People are going to be happy. People are going to be happy not having to get dressed, not having to take off their rollers, I don't gotta have to put on makeup
rollers
to go to work.
Rollers.
I don't have to buy pantyhose to go to work. If I get to stay home, are you kidding me? I'll take that. No gas. I don't have to put gas in the car and travel 1 hour, a half hour, 45 minutes to get to work. I'll take that. So,
but you know what that's leading to, don't you?
Of course.
I mean,
of course. Universal income. That's what it's leading to.
Correct.
That's it. That's what's going to happen. And like you said, the customer service stinks, right? Because now you have to make an appointment for everything. If you have to open up an account, you have to make an appointment 2 weeks in advance. And like you said, if you want your money, they're going to try to do all kinds of things to your mind control, to say, no, you really didn't come in here for money. You just came in here to say hello. That's what you came in here for.
Exactly.
Exactly
right.
Because
so nice seeing you.
Right. It was nice seeing you, and thank you for checking in with us. And, yes, we're still keeping this site open, but this is going to lead to a universal monetary collapse. That's what it's going to lead to. That's what it's going to lead to.
Correct.
That's it. The signs are all there. People aren't seeing.
Yep.
They don't. People are just happy to get their little check, and we got our little check. Biden sent me the check. I got $1,400. And, I can just stay home in my pajamas and watch movies on Netflix. You know, I'm happy.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
They're trying to turn everybody
in every country into a welfare society where you are just happy with just having your bills paid.
Is their motto.
Right.
You'll have nothing and like it. That's
all right. That's it. That's where we're going.
Wow.
That's where we're heading. You know?
That's true. And, it's in everything. And they're trying to force people, and I noticed this, especially, this week, they're trying to force people to do everything over the phone and make it hard for people who don't want to do that. I mean, I thought, you pull into a drive-through fast food and you see something up there and you get up to order it. And they said, no, that's only for people who will order by phone, that deal. And it's like, you're kidding. Why can't I just buy that deal? No, that's for people who order by phone ahead of time. They can get the deal, but you can't.
Right.
Things like that. Or another thing I noticed, I had a long drive, And while we were driving, I think we counted going and coming back about 100 deer on the side of the road. They
right.
weren't picked up by the DNR. They were left.
Right.
And I said, you know, it wasn't that long ago when you had a deer, a dead deer at the side of the road. The DNR would come and, you know, scrape it up.
Sure.
Get rid of it.
Absolutely.
They're everywhere.
Right.
Nobody's doing anything. Nobody's picking
right.
up these dead carcasses. And the birds weren't even eating them. Why?
Right. They're stuffed. The birds are stuffed.
Yes.
They've had their full.
Yeah.
You know? When, you know.
Absolutely.
They're so
stuffed.
It was
so strange, bro. It
yeah.
was strange. Because it was, you know, the ones picking on the carcasses. My husband noted this. He goes, well, why is it that the turkey vultures aren't eating the carcasses? Why is it the blackbirds are the only
right.
ones? Because it's normally the turkey vultures
mm-hmm.
that eat. He said, that's strange. And I said, what? The DNR, why are they leaving all these carcasses along the road to rot?
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know, where's the DNR?
Yeah. Yep. And listen,
it didn't
they
make
were...
sense.
They already
crazy.
Figured it out. Listen, it's the summer's coming. Those bodies will decompose fast. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it
listen,
is what it is.
Listen, we have one down here at a church that's been there a month or so that the DNR has left, and it's in the yard, the churchyard.
Right.
And no one's picked it up. No one's.
Yeah.
It's been out there a month.
Right, right, right.
You know,
right.
they've had their fill. The animals
sure.
still in the churchyard.
Yeah.
Somebody put a balloon next to it.
That's it.
Sorry for your loss, balloon.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, but
yeah.
you know, I found that weird when we were. Yeah, just you know, I notice everything. I was, that's weird. Why is it that there's so much of those? You know, it just bothered me. And where's the DNR? They're out there cleaning up stuff. Where do
right.
they work now? What are
right.
they doing? So just strange,
yep.
strange times. Okay, we have a pastor, James Coates of Alberta, Canada, who was jailed, now this is in Canada, for having a church service. Now, Canada says it was because he was defying the COVID restriction. Okay, his church is called Grace Life Church. Now, I've been following this story since it started, and it's an ongoing story. It's continuing all the time. But he sat in jail because he refused to plead guilty. And by doing that, that forces the court to go to trial, you know, the court system to take him to trial. If they went to trial, it then forces the government to provide scientific evidence in an open court that justifies their health orders and lockdowns. You know,
right.
they have to justify it. So they've been doing this without any evidence, okay,
mm-hmm.
so far. So he sat in jail awaiting for some sort of resolution to this. You know, then they said he was going to be released from jail and that the Crown would only keep one charge on him. That charge was violating an order of the Chief Medical Officer of Health by challenging the lawlessness of the public health order. That was the charge. It's Canada. That's how they worded
right.
it. So that would have... he would have paid a $100 fine for breaking the condition. But then the court changed their mind. A judge rejected the agreement in terms. According to the judge, it was the severity of the action that changed his mind. The severity of the action was having a church service. Now think about that. The judge then charged the pastor with a $1,500 fine and credited him for the time that he served. He spent a month in jail because he had a church service. He defied an order.
Crazy.
And
Crazy.
The judge said he's jeopardizing the public. Do you see where this is going?
Right. Yeah, but think about this. He goes before the judge, right? He goes before the judge in the judge's chambers or in the courtroom, right? The courtroom is filled with people. Technically, the judge is having his version of church.
Exactly.
Is he jeopardizing the public? Let's put him in jail for a month.
Yeah. I would have argued that case. You should have been a lawyer.
I would have said, wait a minute. Mr. Judge, you're having church. You're the pastor. You're the pastor right here. You're decreeing and declaring. You know better than Cindy Trim. You're doing what Cindy Trim does. You should be put in jail for a month. See, that's why I get in trouble. See, that's why I get in trouble.
Yeah. You'd have been taken away in handcuffs.
Another month.
Maybe
I would have
been
another month.
Lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
Contempt. Contempt, yep. Your Honor.
That's it. That's
there
it.
He goes again.
That's
yeah.
It.
Well, he was away from his church for 6 weeks, but once he took to the pulpit, the police showed up, but they parked nearby, right? They didn't enter the church that time. So the other day, police and security, this was last week, showed up at the church and put a chain link fence around the building that prevents people from gathering for services. And honestly, it looks like a prison camp. It really did.
Wow.
So, and what they're doing is, in Canada, they're really enforcing this. They're making the non-compliant Christians the bad guys.
Right.
Because this is all. Now, the bottom line of this is the guy had a church service. Okay.
Right.
That's it. So, so this is where we're headed. And then we had an update on it. Meanwhile, a mosque in the same area didn't have the same treatment, or they didn't have a problem at all with the police. A mosque meeting in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That shows you the intent of this. It's against Christians. Now, there was another update. They had some protesters show up, and they tore the fence down. Now, the church members actually tried to stop these protesters because they came in and thought they were going to do a good thing, and they're saying, no, don't do that because we don't break the law. We're not breaking the law.
Right.
You know, and that's breaking the law. It's not that we like the fence, but we don't believe that we should be tearing down stuff, you know.
Yep.
So they wanted to put the fence back up, not to stay out of church just because they don't want to be accused of being lawbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sad. Canada's bad right now.
Yeah, Canada, you know, Canada, and we will be getting there soon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least I would say this, if you take it state by state, right, because Montana says no to the travel ID or travel passport, but I know New York, mm-hmm. Governor Cuomo is going to push the travel passport. So it all depends on, you know, from one state to. I know Cuomo told the Jews you're not meeting.
Right.
You know, and listen, and the Jewish people are a very powerful constituency in New York State. The Jews are very powerful. They're very influential. And he told them, you're not meeting in the synagogue. And they went ballistic. And guess what? They didn't meet in the synagogue because he stopped them.
Yep.
So, and they scream. Christians don't scream. Christians say, okay, whatever you say, Mr. Governor. But the Jews, they were screaming. No, we gotta have time with God. And Cuomo said,
they took him to court.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't fooling around.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think that will be the downfall a lot of times if we don't, just do anything or say anything. And a lot of states, you know, they know what they can get away with in each state. They know who's on board and who isn't at this point. So, okay, now we're going to talk about these Nike Human Blood tennis shoes, okay?
Okay.
Now, we're going to start this. This is Hugo, by the way, again. And these are, in England, tennis shoes or sneakers are called trainers. So when you hear him say trainers, that means tennis shoe. But this
okay.
is, Hugo gives us, he's a secular. Remember, he's secular.
Right.
But he's intelligent and he's insightful, but he's secular, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But he is insightful and he knows what's going on. Start this at 32 and then stop it at, I think when it goes into advertising is around 32
okay.
seconds in, and we won't have to listen to the advertising
okay.
about this. But these are about the Nike Blood trainers or
okay.
sneakers. Okay.
That contain a drop of human blood. Nike trainers that contain a drop. Okay. Well, here's a curious one. Nike trainers that contain a drop of human blood. Now, I don't know about you, but when have people been crying out for trainers or shoes that contain drops of human blood? Nah, that's not something I've heard of before. It says here, MSCHF and Little Nas X create the Air Max 97 Satan shoes. And here we have the, of course, here we have the one-eye symbolism nonsense we've all seen time and time again. It says here, following the debut of his new single, Montero, Little Nas X teams up with Nike to release a limited quantity of Satan shoes. These come in an all-black colorway with red embroidered detail and a bronze pentagram clipped to the laces. Further details on the shoe includes Luke 10:18 embroidered on the front lateral, referencing the line, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven in the Bible. Additionally, an exclusive 666 pairs, of course, are being sold. Each individually numbered, like 1, 2, 3 out of 666, in red embroidery. However, the most unconventional and imaginative, it says here, of all the detailed choices lies in the soles of the pair, which are filled with 66 cc of red ink and one drop of human blood. So where are they getting this human blood from? So these trainers are being released because of the so-called musician Little Nas X, who has released a video which is full of satanic imagery. He does a lap dance with the devil himself in the video. It's an expensive looking video, a lot of money spent on this, and it is trending on YouTube and has 20 million views. Now, I didn't know much about Little Nas X before, but it turns out he is a Grammy Award-winning individual, and it seems is a big name. And then, of course, he is highly influential amongst the brainwashed of society. Now, this Little Nas X says that the video represents him coming out as gay and how he was brought up with the ideals of people around him saying, you will go to hell if you are gay and all of this type of stuff. Now, you could make a video about that. And you could include certain visual references to the devil in the video, but come on. Now, I mean, if you look at this video, this ideal is clearly just an excuse to go on full-on Luciferian imagery that Hollywood and these industries love to churn out. And it's getting more blatant than ever. And to compound the hypocrisy and the falseness of these celebrity shills, in this specific case, he releases a trainer, which is basically a homage to satanic beliefs. What happened to the original message you were putting out? Oh, it's been totally obliterated by promoting some satanic agenda with these trainers. Look at this shape. Pentagrams, 666, a drop of human blood in the soles. You know, there are black metal bands, okay, who are openly Satanists and make records about being Satanists, and they are open about it. But it seems that these big celebrities from the USA always make out, it's just a metaphor, you know, it's just a bit of fun. Yet you see this over and over and over again. And this is being promoted by an artist who says he's supposedly standing up for his gay rights. I mean, here's a question, all right? I'm not gay, But if you are a gay man and you're a subscriber to this channel, I mean, let us know in the comments. Are you happy for this obviously very famous person who gets 20 million views on a video in 2 days? Are you happy to have this gay person who speaks about the gay movement and then have it associated with satanic propaganda, as with these shoes and also the video? I'm just curious. What do you think of that? It seems once again these vacuous celebrities, like the masked up entities that we saw recently at the Grammy Awards, seem to be pushing this agenda. And it's becoming more and more obvious and flagrant. And all of this at a time when the world is falling under the shadow of tyranny. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to the
Yeah, Little Nash.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, and, you know, if the world is disturbed by these things, you know it's bad. You know, and it won't be long before these apostate pastors start wearing this stuff. You know, and calling it cool. Saying,
sure.
You know, it's just a metaphor. Because they're into the preachers with sneakers thing, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, Hugo missed something, though. The shoes are also bled. They're also red, white, and black. That's Masonic colors, by the way.
Okay.
Just to let everybody know, that's a Masonic color when you see it, that put together. Now,
right.
We have an update on that. A judge has pulled his Satan shoes from the market. A federal judge has blocked the shipment of Satan shoes paying a drop of human blood in the soul in response to, get this, a federal copyright infringement lawsuit filed by Nike. The sneakers that sell for $1,018 a pair have been pulled by this judge.
Okay.
The human blood is actually from members of the MSCHF team, and that's a New York-based company. A total of 666 pairs were available, and all but one pair have already shipped to customers. The Satan shoes, follow the release of the company's Jesus shoes, which reportedly contained holy water. Remember those?
How
and they
stupid.
Had the scripture quote. I think we did something a little bit on that. I'm not sure if we did the news story on that or not, because I was looking at the news, but for a while wasn't doing any news shows. So, but they had the Matthew 14:25 quote on them. Now, Nike's lawyers had argued that even sophisticated sneakerheads were confused and that consumers were boycotting Nike was associated with the Satan shoes. So that's where the infringement comes in. That's why Nike filed the suit, because they were losing business because they were getting connected to Satan. And now, if you think about this, you don't have to be a genius. This is what he did. He took Nike Air Max 97 shoes and decorated it with satanic garb. And he didn't think that the shoemaker would go after you. You know, that's the infringement. So
right.
He bought a pair of shoes from Nike, put satanic garb on it, you know, injected it with dye and a drop of blood, resold them. And Nike is losing business because they're just saying they're Nike. They're from Nike.
Right, right, right.
And they're not from him. But he didn't think of that. What kind of lawyer do you have? He better fire his lawyer.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Because you can't take something, a brand name, and just put some satanic garb on it and call it your own. You know, with the brand name of the shoe. I mean, what kind of lawyer advises him on that?
Yeah, you know, but he's got Satan on his side, so he thinks, look, it's like the lady who was praying the satanic prayer at the city council. They're all sold out for Satan, you know?
Yeah, they are.
So they get sued or they get, you know, criticized. They don't, hail Satan. I mean, I heard the lady say, hail Satan.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, you only saw that in a Rosemary's Baby movie, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I was shocked when I saw that in the movie Rosemary's Baby with Mia Farrow at the end. Hail Satan. There was a woman there who used to be on the Andy Griffith Show. And for years I watched her on the Andy, and she's in that last scene of Rosemary's Baby, hail Satan. And that bothered me. I said, look at that.
Yes.
This little old apple pie making lady is hailing Satan on an.
Was it Aunt B?
No, it wasn't Aunt B. It was Aunt B's best friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought, tell me it's not.
Her name is Cora. Her name is Cora on the show.
Oh, okay.
Her name is Cora, but.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but she's hailing Satan, you know. In the movie, in the last scene, I'm saying, no, not you. You can't be a Satanist.
Yeah.
If you're a Satanist, that means Andy and Barney are Satanists, you know?
Exactly. Oh, it's awful. Well, it's so blatant now, isn't it?
Right.
It's just
right.
In your face. Everything's
right.
In your face and accepted. And they're doing that because it's going to come to a point that, you know, it'll be a part of society and no one will even, you know, think about it. It's something you see every day. The symbolism, all this.
Look, it's like years ago, people used to say, okay, I'm a movie star. I have a secret for you. I'm gay. Oh, he's gay. We were shocked.
Yeah.
Right? Every time.
Yeah.
I'm so shocked. He's gay. Okay. Now they come out and they say, I'm pansexual. And we say, who cares? Why? Because we've been conditioned.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, whoever, listen, it's not, look, you telling us you're gay is nothing. You have to up it. You have to up the ante. To up the ante is to say you're pansexual. You know, that's it. That's, you know, gay doesn't cut it anymore. Gay is,
right.
That's not news. We already expected that. We had our suspicions that you were gay. That, you know, that doesn't, you know. So, I mean, think about it. Bruce Jenner, I used to eat my Wheaties, and there he was on the Wheaties box.
On the box.
You know, and here he is.
I want to be
later,
like you.
He's in pantyhose. The dude's in pantyhose.
And you wanted to be like him when you grew up.
Oh, my goodness. We would go to the Bruce Jenner this, Bruce Jenner that, Bruce, you know. And, boy, and now he's a nut. Now he's a nut.
Now we
Go
see
figure.
These people for who they are, you know. I mean,
Listen.
You know,
Listen.
They were good actors. Good actors.
Yeah. Well, he's a confused man. You know, he's guy's confused. Confused. He's got all those babies, you know, and then, you know, he's just a confused man. And ugly, by the way, ugly too. Because, you know.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him without makeup on. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
how bad he looked.
Yeah.
I mean, really bad.
Yeah. Some of those drag queens look attractive. I mean, I hate to admit that, but they do. You have to admit.
Yeah, I know.
They look very attractive, right?
Yes.
He is ugly. Bruce Jenner is ugly. Please.
Ugly.
Listen, he gives Paul a white competition when it comes to ugly.
Oh, and that's big time. That's big time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We haven't heard a lot from her. She lost her position.
She lost her position and lost her mind.
She went off that
ago.
Building.
Yeah, she lost her mind many years ago. So losing your position
did.
is not as bad as losing your mind.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of losing their mind, we have an audio here. It's 3:08 of Jim Baker. He's now using his end-time broadcast to warn about zombies.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And you wonder why, now listen to this. People, read your Bible, because when they put these, you know, if they call it the end times and they're putting things out, people actually believe this stuff, you know, and it's, you're not going to find this in the Bible. And yet, if they say it, people believe it. And it's because they don't read the Word of God. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, he's taken a step, you know, a little deeper now. He's gone a little deeper. And he's with a guy called Steve Quayle, who has a lot of books out and think, you know, about zombies. I think it's his. I'm not sure which one it is on there. But, you know, listen, this is crazy stuff.
Yeah,
but, so we'll listen to it anyway. And it's three minutes, 8 seconds.
Jim Baker will probably have on his show Zack Snyder, who's releasing a new zombie movie called City of the Dead.
Yeah.
So,
well, you wonder why people, you know, between the Netflix movies and,
right.
you know, all these preachers talking about this, and then you have movies on it, you wonder what people are thinking. You know?
Correct.
Is this really
Correct.
True? Is this going to happen? It's very confusing. And
sure.
especially for people who don't know the Word of God. So,
right.
and you know, they buy into this. So, go ahead and play it.
Okay, here it is. Okay, I don't know what's wrong. I can't hear the sound.
Zombies
here it is.
That are on the earth are a disease like any other disease. Zombies that are on the earth are a disease like any other disease that affects people, and they become like zombies. Is that right?
Forgive me, but that's only part of the story. Zombies also have the evil spiritual entity known as demon possession, okay? Because there is no rationale with a zombie. The best way to explain zombies' bloodlust is this: the appetite of demons expressed through humans. It should be astonishing to people that the richest people in the world, not all of them, but some of them, are into occult ceremonies where they have to drink, you know, blood that's extracted from a tortured child. Now, that's sick, but that's the appetite of demons expressed through humans. The ancient world dealt with monsters, mythological and real. And this is something that is really important to get through. The disease will basically destroy the human defenses. God gave us defenses as humans to resist the devil, and he will flee. But when you're inviting, or what's the word I want, embracing abject demon possession, giving yourself over to be inhabited by the demons who then become your inhabitants, it's a twofold. What I'm saying, Jim.
This is Hui.
Yes.
We don't find the people that were demon possessed in the Bible were not called zombies.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
A zombie is a dead again, according to the fictional understanding, because we know zombies don't exist. We know that.
It's
a zombie is a fictional character. But a zombie is a what they call the living dead. The living now.
Exactly.
Once you die, in my Bible, you don't You don't come back to life, right? You just don't.
Yep.
So this guy is promoting a comic book idea, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's
and the word I looked up the word there, and the origin was West African, and it compares it to the Congo words, Nazombie, which means like a god small g.
Right.
And he said that the corpse still retains the soul, and that's not logical or biblical.
Correct.
To be absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Right.
And that has nothing to do, you know, James 4:7 has nothing to do with zombies. Resisting the devil is just not yielding to his temptations. That's what
Correct.
It is. And that's why
Correct.
We have the armor of God.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, this guy, this is craziness. And
right.
rich people do drink the blood. That's an occult practice. You know, and it's not necessarily rich people that do that. That's Aleister Crowley. That's, you know, children's blood and all that. That's Aleister Crowley's doctrine. And
Look.
The ancient world did not deal, how do you deal with a mythological demon? Because it's mythological.
Right.
You can't
it's
worship
fictional.
Some.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can ignorantly worship something that you think is there, but it's not there. It's not
Correct.
There. You know?
Yeah. You can't deal with it. If
yeah.
it's not there, that's mythological. So, yes, they did worship mythological things, you know, demons or
beings,
whatever.
Right.
But
beings, the gods.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Look, it's like they would take children and give them to Chemosh and burn the child alive,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. Just because they
Correct.
Did it in antiquity doesn't mean it holds water. Or it's real. It's just, you know,
mm-hmm.
this was the crazy notion that these people had. Crazy notions
yes.
don't, crazy ideas don't make them real.
Right.
It just makes them
yeah.
crazy ideas. That's yeah. it. So they drank
and he
blood.
He just flipped
big
that
deal.
In.
Yeah, big deal that they
that
drank
in.
Blood. Yeah, big deal that they drank blood.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, Wow. And Jim Baker is promoting this garbage? Wow.
Yeah, and he slipped that in, though. You know, if you notice how sneaky they are, he said the ancient world dealt with
yeah.
mythological demons. And, you know, so you clarify that, and it's like, well, how can it be you deal with something that's mythological, you know? They made it
yeah.
sound like it existed, that they existed. So, yeah, this is craziness. This
a
is
myth
craziness.
Is a, myth.
And,
a myth is
yeah.
a made-up story. That's all it is.
Yes.
Nothing about it.
And we're warned
like,
about
look,
that.
It's just like me, the story of Little Red Riding Hood. There was never a Little Red Riding Hood. The story of the three little pigs who built three different kinds
yeah.
of houses, there were never three little pigs who built anything. It's just a story.
Yeah.
It's a fable. I can't
yes,
put my
exactly.
stock in the story of the three little pigs or preach a sermon on it and claim it's gospel? Nonsense.
Yeah. yeah, and that's what they're doing. Now, we're warned about myths being brought
Correct.
In Jewish myths, and a lot of this does go back, okay, in time.
Right.
They're ancient myths. That's exactly what they are. Go ahead.
All right, let's listen to what else this guy's got to say.
And he will flee. But when you're inviting, or what's the word I want, embracing abject demon possession, giving yourself over to be inhabited by the demons who then become your inhabitants, is a twofold. What I'm saying, Jim, is they can induce zombieism, at least the appetite for human flesh, but at the end of the thing, it's both hands, right hand and left hand. And the left hand simply is the evil spiritual possession of that zombie. So the zombie protocol, and then I think people should say, okay, if this is all wild stuff, why does the military have a manual about it when it happens? Why does the CDC even have anything on their members, Center for Disease Control? Or creation, just call it that. That's my opinion. The whole subject of zombies could be just boiled down at one end to a genetically modified human that is no longer human on the level that you and I are a living being is. Then that corpse, that walking animated, there's a better word, it's not living, an animated corpse is possessed by a demonic entity. That demonic entity has knowledge, it has sentience, it has, how do I say this, a purpose to do nothing else but to destroy. And I think that's the easiest way I can explain it.
Yeah, this guy's been watching too many episodes of The Walking Dead. That's what he's been doing.
There's no proof of this, but he's just telling you that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we need to give Jim Baker the left foot of fellowship.
Jim Baker's been weird for years. Yeah.
People still tune in to him, though. And listen, if you want to go into Zombieville and this kind of craziness, you know, have at it.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing it. There's nothing biblical about this stuff, and yet they're promoting it. So, okay, now Tom Horn says an asteroid will strike the Earth in 2029, unleashing an alien, here we go, virus that will give rise to the Antichrist. Now, that's only 2 minutes and 17 seconds. The reason I want to talk about this is because people listen for their eschatology or anything about the end times. They like Tom Horn. Don't. He wrote the Wormwood Prophecy, you know, and he's date setting, which is a red flag. But, you know, a lot of people go to him to listen to him for prophecy and things like that. He's quite popular. And this just shows you how wild, you know, it is.
So he's a prophecy teacher, this guy?
Well, yeah, he's always talking about the end times. He's big into the eschatology of, you know, the end times. But he's you know, talking crazy stuff.
right.
Alien virus. You got to have aliens. You got to have zombies. You got to have all these sci-fi, you know.
Sure.
And people, he's been on that, you know, that prophecy show that was on a while back. I can't remember. It was a guy with white hair, and he always had this prophecy conference, you know, or you know, he interviewed people about prophecy and the end times.
John Ankleberg?
No, but he's been on this guy's show, and it's called Prophecy Something. I can't remember.
Okay.
What the name?
Okay.
I can visualize it, but I can't remember the name of it.
Right.
Well, he's gone on that show quite a bit too. So he's getting he has platforms. That's what I'm trying to say. A lot of platforms that he's on. So people, you know, listen to him, but they shouldn't.
Right.
In reality, they shouldn't. So, you know.
Sure.
So let's.
Sure. All right. Let's listen to Tom Horn.
Yeah.
No, the word Apophis is what NASA has named this asteroid that is on a trajectory for what they are now calling a very near miss, Friday the 13th, April 2029. I am saying that I believe Apophis is the asteroid that is talked about in the book of Revelation chapter 8. It is what is called Wormwood in the Bible.
Oh, and that wormwood means poison, doesn't it?
Yes, bitterness. And again, you know, we can go into this during this program, but I believe that Apophis is carrying an alien microorganism on it in which a virus is being sustained, and I believe it's going to make coronavirus look like a walk in the park. On impact with the Earth, the contagion that is going to be brought to this planet. I think that it's going to be a trigger event that ultimately.
All right, so let's break the stupidity down because again, you know, they have to sell books.
Yes.
Okay, what asteroid is he talking about? Somebody help me and explain to me what asteroid is he talking about? Okay. It says here in Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were as a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. The name of the star is called Wormwood. Okay? So.
The name of the star. The star.
Right. A star, not an asteroid.
Yeah, a star.
Right? Okay. So, yep. All right. So that's, we can discuss that in another program on what does the star mean. But it's not an asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a star. Asteroids are just pieces of rock flying in space, but they don't shine. They provide no light, which is what a star does. That's one. So let's push that aside. Number two, he said that it has an alien, a virus. There are no aliens. There are no aliens.
Yes. Well, what he's implicating, I think, here, what he's trying to say, he's trying, you know, the Hebrew translation into English, it's used seven times. The word is used seven times. And it does, the wormwood does implicate, you know, it has the implication that of bitterness. So he's trying to now make the connection with bitterness and aliens. Now, how he does that, he went from asteroid to star, or asteroid when it's a star. Now he's connecting, he's trying to connect like bitterness to make that alien. Now, how he made that connection, I don't know. Because, you know, bitterness that poisons everything good, you know, that I see. But alien, I have no idea. Bro,
And the thing is that there are many species of plants in Palestine called wormwood, but they're not poisonous.
Yes.
Now, they're bitter, but they have nothing to do with poison.
Yeah, it's described as a plant, too. Yes.
Right.
True.
So again, carrying an alien virus? Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did he get his report from, you know, Pluto or Saturn, CNN, that told him an alien is coming our way?
I don't know. We're in trouble. We got zombies and aliens coming.
Zombies and aliens. And here's the thing. Maybe this will give Jim time, since it's 2021 and it's coming in 2028. Maybe this will give Jim Baker enough time to prepare another concoction that he can sell that we could drink to help us against that alien invasion or alien virus.
That's right. Oh, I don't know.
All right.
You know, you would have thought. Okay, you would have thought God would have said something about this, right? I mean, he always warns before things happen, but somehow he missed this one.
According to
them.
I mean, I'm reading Revelation right now. I don't see anything about aliens. See anything about aliens. Okay, here we go.
Poison, doesn't it?
Yes, bitterness. And again, you know, we can go into this during this program, but I believe that Apophis is carrying an alien microorganism on it in which a virus is being sustained. And I believe it's going to make coronavirus look like a walk in the park. On impact with the earth, the contagion that is going to be brought to this planet. I think that it's going to be a trigger event that ultimately leads to the mark of the beast, which will mean that you're going to have to be vaccinated. In fact, I've developed an entire theory that is in the book based on some teachings that my wife Nita came up with over a decade ago about how a contagion during the tribulation period could sweep the world. Literally tens of millions of people are dying by the hour. And an international cry goes up around the world for some kind of cure, a vaccine. Well, a man comes forward, a single individual, who happens to be the Antichrist. And he's the only man on earth whose blood is naturally immune to this alien virus. And so a vaccine is created from his blood, by which all mankind then are required to be inoculated. So it's almost like a black communion.
Wow, that guy was smoking something before he came on that show.
Exactly, that's what he believes. That's his narrative, and he's sticking to it.
Wow.
I wonder if that was a drop of blood in the tennis shoe.
Wow.
I don't know. Now, listen, you wonder why people are confused, right? You wonder why, with all this stuff going out over the airwaves. I mean, I'm telling you. Okay. Now, Tom Horn, again, we're going to play the last audio here. It's only 2 minutes. So he said, we're going to go back a little bit with Tom Horn. He's the one that said Trump was chosen to build the third temple. So we're going to do, back. It's only 2 minutes just to show you the false prophet.
Again, and of course, now we know he's a false prophet extraordinaire.
Yes. Yep.
A little over a year ago, a member of the President's Faith Council reached out to me, sent me an email. It's a guy that I happen to know. He said, I want to talk to you on the phone, but you have to guarantee me anonymity. He said, in the position that I'm in, nobody can know that I was the guy talking about this. So I said, sure, what is it? Sounds like a bombshell or something, right? We talked on the phone, and he said, you need to know that a meeting took place here in Washington, D.C., and there were two of the senior rabbis from Israel, Orthodox rabbis from Israel, that came over. They had a sit-down meeting with Donald Trump, Jared Kushner, and a couple of other of the members of the Faith Council were in that meeting. Bottom line is he told me quite a bit of stuff, which has since started rolling out, coming out in the news, which has confirmed to me that he knew what he was talking about, right? Mm-hmm. But the big bombshell was these rabbis are in the ear of Donald Trump and Jared Kushner specifically to let Trump know that he won the election against all odds because God led him to that point so that he would be an agent, a King Cyrus-like agent, to secondly not only be a friend to Israel, but ultimately when the time is right, to speak in favor of the building of the third temple. I was told almost verbatim that what this one Orthodox rabbi said was that Donald Trump had initiated a prophetic process and that when the time was right, it would lead to the building of the third temple. And furthermore, they told Donald Trump, you were only elected because you have this opportunity to do the things like Cyrus did.
Right.
But the success of your presidency and 2020 will depend on whether you will speak in favor of the construction of the third temple. So they were putting a lot of pressure on him.
Well, I guess Trump did a lousy job because he's not president.
Exactly. And he says Trump was only elected to build the third temple, which was not built, the physical temple. Right?
Right.
So,
right.
That just taking back a little bit with Tom before he got into the alien thing.
Yeah,
this is one of his other prophecies that he had. That just shows you. He said, so the Jewish rabbis convinced Trump he was a Cyrus. And the Zionist wing of the evangelical Trump church promoted that to the church. That's exactly what, happened.
Right.
But we need to remember that the temple is a spiritual temple that we're looking. It's, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's no third temple building in the Bible, physical temple that we see.
And whatever the Zionists do, mm-hmm. it's not God approved.
Exactly.
Who cares what the Zionists want? You know, and Cyrus 45, I mean, how many times have we heard Donald Trump to Cyrus 45? And that, again, you know, Donald Trump's got to look at the evangelicals and say to all of them, all of you are false prophets. He's got to look at those Jews who came in. Now, again, we're going off the word of Tom Horn. We don't know if those Jewish rabbis told Trump that. That's what Tom Horn says.
Right.
They told Trump.
Yeah.
But if they did tell
yeah.
Trump that, Trump's looking at them and saying, you guys are false prophets also. This whole religion thing
yep.
has got to be one big scam, because everything you guys tell me doesn't come to pass.
That's right. That's right. It's a good point, because he turns what this has done is turn, you know, people away from religion, all this mess with these evangelicals, you know. And that's what we can say is, you know, if you could look at any good thing about Biden, which I'm not thrilled about the way it's
right.
going, but at least we got rid of Paula and that group.
Right.
Oh, well, you know what I'm
sure.
saying? That's on a positive note. At least
right.
we
right.
don't listen to them and their Cyrus and, you know, he's going to build the temple. I mean, to me, that was a little nerve-wracking. You know,
sure. And if anybody looks like a zombie, it's Biden. Biden looks like a zombie.
Walter. Yeah.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Walter.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. That Tom Horn,
yeah.
boy, stay away from that guy.
Yeah, really, because, I mean, he's selling books. Now, this Wormwood, you don't want to buy the Wormwood prophecy book. We just talked about that, because then
right.
you'll buy into the alien thing,
sure
which
sure.
takes you into the zombie thing,
right
which
right,
you
right.
know, I mean, all this
yeah.
stuff is
yeah,
and
sure.
bro, you wonder why people are confused with all this out there. It's crazy.
Yeah. Tom Horn is trying to sell books,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's all he's trying to do, but we know, again, zombies, aliens, spacecraft, flying saucers.
Mm-hmm.
They did all of that already. You know, they did that. H.G. Wells already did that. You know,
yeah.
come on. It's this played out. Flying saucers went out in the 1950s. You know?
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, it just boggles. You wonder, how is it that people believe this? Well, the whole bottom line is they're not reading the Word of God to know the difference.
Right.
You know, so they buy into this. You know, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem coming down from the sky. That's what we're looking for. I mean, it's so simple. But yet what they do is they take all these things, and there's a lot of myths in this stuff and a lot of belief systems, and dump them in and call it, you know, Christianity, that they're Christians that believe this. I'm not sure how you could believe this stuff and be a Christian. I just don't. I just don't.
Yeah. Well,
how
you
can
know,
you endorse
when,
it?
Yeah, when you have to have – when you have a show like Jim Baker's show that is – you know, you need cash. Every day you need cash. You need the
mm-hmm.
money to roll in. Jim Baker wakes up and he scratches his bald head and he says, how am I going to make the money today? What can I do today? What, you know, what can I sell? What can I say? You know, what can I do to make the money roll in, because I need money to roll in? And that's it. He's in a money trap. You know, he's
that's
in
right.
a money pit, you know. And that's it. And, you know, Paula prophesied when he said, I'm going to build the prophet's palace. And, there's no prophet's palace built. And Paula said, oh, you're going to get the money and blah, blah, blah. Well, Paula's gone. There's no prophet hall. There's nothing but bills. Bills are stacking up.
Right.
You know,
that's
all
right.
he has. So here I am.
Baker thinks elixirs. That's what he's thinking all the time. What kind of elixir can I come up
with? Well, he has an 8-year head start to come up with the Wormwood virus elixir. That's it. He's got an 8-year head start. get cranking. Yeah. You know, turn your garage into a laboratory and start, you know, have your wife, Lori, drink some of the potion and see how it turns out. You know, use your kids.
Yeah.
Have them drink the potion. See how it turns out.
That's right.
These are just crazy people.
Yeah, and it's amazing that it's all done in the name of Christianity. And as long as they say, well, Jesus, you know, or use the name of Jesus, people actually fall for this stuff. Baker is, I'm not sure he's ever been solid. I'm going to be honest with you, you know, in his theology. I really don't. And we've been around for a long time and watch these people still plugging for money. They're in debt. Look, they bought these big things, big buildings, hoping this will go on forever, and it's not, you know. And now they got to keep that building. They got to keep all their wealth. And it becomes a trap. So they'll do anything, you know, to gain money. That's what they do at the end of the day.
Right.
You know.
Right. They have, listen, they have staff. They have television contracts. They have to pay out. And that's why, you know, he's going to do what he's got to do to make that money come in. He's in, you know, he's in a monetary rat race, where the money just has to roll in. And, you know, if he has to sell, you know, alien pajamas that will help protect you against the alien virus, you know.
Remember the Destiny pants?
He's going to do whatever.
Holy Spirit Destiny
just...
pants, yeah.
Yeah, sure, sure. So, they, listen, these people, they know no shame. They know no shame.
That's right.
And this guy, I have a theory that, you know, the Antichrist is going to have this unique blood. Well, where do you read that in Revelation 13 that the Antichrist has unique blood? Where?
Correct.
Come on.
Nowhere.
Stop. Stop making stuff up. You know, come on. Stop making stuff up. You know, and mind you, he didn't have this theory before COVID. He didn't have this theory before COVID. He comes out with the theory after COVID. After this pandemic, he comes up with the theory that Satan is going to, Antichrist will have this unique blood, and he's going to be the savior of the world, and he's going to try to imitate Jesus by saving the world by his own blood. Insanity.
Yeah.
Insanity.
See, they're trying to make money off COVID because they lost money off COVID. See?
Right.
So they're trying to come up with new scams and new things to make money off COVID. And what better than an alien that has a blood, you know, that's going to cause disease, and the Antichrist having blood to fix it or whatever. You know, I mean, you know, they're going to extremes. And all is because, look, they lost a lot of money and a lot of support during this time.
Yeah.
And, of course, with lawsuits, he wasn't doing well with his lawsuits either.
Right. Listen, if you watch the movie Venom, you know, I grew up in an era where we had these little transistor radios where we listened to our music, our pop music, and I was a baseball fan. So I had my little transistor radio, and I would listen to the New York Mets when they would come on, right? You know, those little $10 transistor, little tiny things.
Right.
That's what we had back then. At least as a boy, I had my little transistor radio, and we would listen to the baseball game. Okay. And we had comic books, right? We had all kinds of – so I was a DC comic, which was Detective Comics, but they called it DC for short, and Marvel Comics. I was a superhero fan. So, okay, so there's a Marvel character called Venom. And Venom is a symbiote. He's an alien creature who arrives on Earth on an asteroid.
Oh.
Okay, and then he possesses.
Familiar.
Right, and then he possesses human bodies. Okay. I'm not advocating for people to watch the Venom movie with Tom Hardy, which came out 3 years ago. But if you're a comic book fan like I was, right? I mean, this was the kind of literature that, you know, and the parents wanted us to do some reading. So,
right.
You know, go ahead. As long as you're reading, read comic books, okay? And so, you know,
right.
So we would read. And so Venom is a symbiote. He's a alien. He's like jelly. He's like a jelly creature. A symbiote,
mm-hmm.
and a symbiote is an alien that is able to merge his body to a human body and inhabit that body. That's basically...
Well, that's exactly what Horn said.
Right. He's promoting Venom.
So
he's pushing Venom. That's what it is.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, you figured out through a comic book with Jennifer LeClaire, you figured
right.
out, you knew what... what was it, the Sneaky Squid or one of them? You
yeah,
knew exactly
Scooby-Doo.
Where
it
she
was
got
Scooby,
that.
It was Scooby-Doo. Yes, Scooby-Doo.
Yes. I'm like, see, it paid off, you reading those comic books.
Right, right.
That paid off.
Yeah.
But they're using that as biblical, or as the Bible, and they're reading comic books. That is scary.
It's crazy. These people are crazy. Well,
yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Great show, as always.
Thank you, sir.
We're out of time. We're out of time. And
yep.
But all of these shows, listen, all of these clips, I got to tell you, Tom Horn, you left the best for last because the Tom Horn stuff is just goes to show how nutty these people are.
Correct. Well, correct.
Yeah, you have the last word, my dear sister.
Well, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I'm not sure if we're going to do more news. Or we're going back to a subject, but thank you, bro, for helping us with the comic book, for figuring that out for us about the comic books, and that's exactly what they're doing. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.
When I sailed on a lonely beach, in the midnight watch I keep, I stand amazed when the stars on the billows gleam. And though I know a storm is rising above a dark horizon, I know, my Lord, I know you're here with me. So let there be light, Lord, let it shine out of your heart, healing of mine. When it rains from heaven above, let it bring sweet heavenly love. Let there be light, let there be light. There's a call on the restless tide, it's like a long and endless night, and it breaks the bow like a raging symphony. And though I may be far from shore, I am anchored at heaven's door, 'cause I know, Lord, you're here with me. So let there be light, oh Lord, let it shine out of your heart, healing of mine. Lead me out of the eye of the storm and of the promise of the crimson dawn. Let there be light, sweet Jesus, let there be light. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me and surrender in an ocean of love. Your grace is enough, grace is enough. Find me and surrender in an ocean of love. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough by me, my Lord. I'm surrounded in an ocean of your love. Let there be light. And Lord, let it shine out of your heart. Oh, Jesus, here in mine. Lay me out of the eye of the storm. Oh, Lord, let there be light. There is power, power, wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, there is wonderful power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ, yeah, there is power, there's power, there's wonder working power in the blood of Jesus the Lamb. And there is power, 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 oh yeah, there is power, there is the wonder working power. There is power, there is power, and there is a wonder-working power in the precious blood of